Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
First of all, the candidate is in control of his campaign. That's number one. And I'm in control of doing the things that he wants me to do in the campaign. The turmoil, this is another Clinton narrative that's being put out there and that the media is picking up on. In the last week, we've just announced our 50 state chairman in the states. We've announced a record amount of money that we raised in July. So the campaign is in very good shape.
The campaign is doing really well. It's never been so well united. As we started on June 16th, I would say right now it's the best in terms of being united that it's been since we began.
That's a condescending Elvis impersonator Paul Manafort and the next president of Jupiter, Donald Trump. See the headlines in the last 24 hours? Trump is getting nuttier and nuttier, campaign operative unloads on his irrational candidate. Trump's descent into madness. Seven totally unhinged moments of the past 24 hours, and on it goes. Chuck Todd, the leader of Meet the Press and NBC political guru and our friend. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Steve.
How real is this that behind the scenes it's gone off the rails?
Well, it's real that it's gone off, that it's... Actually, I'll use what Henry Barber, who's the nephew of Haley Barber, who has been sort of a dyed-in-the-wool, you know, Trump supporter or apologist or whatever you want to call it. He goes, well, I'm still hoping Trump can do well, and you know, but he's not driving on pavement right now. He's in the ditch. And it was just sort of like, when these are your supporters, that's when you know it's a rough time. Look, there is realism in what, you know, what can you do to change Trump? You can't change him. What you can hope to do is somehow motivate him to focus in another direction. And I think that's, you know, party leaders are realistic. They know they can't get him to like run, be focused and disciplined for 3 months, but if they can get him to stop attacking fellow Republicans, they feel like that would be a start. And I think ultimately that's about the only thing they could really hope to get out of any intervention.
Well, somebody brought this up yesterday that just is sort of getting engaged in the process and said, well, give me three or four things that, you know, I ought to, you know, do a little research on. And I said, the list is daily. Every 24 hours, the news cycle flips because he gives you something else that you have to chase and have to talk about, because the list gets longer and longer of insane rantings from the Republican candidate. Now, Chuck, I got to tell you, it just feels like, you know, he's in the express lane. He's in the seven kooky things or less thing, and he's got to get them all in 24 hours. So why, since the conventions, does he seem like he's doing more of this?
I think the one theory of the case that I heard is that the new people tried too hard to rein him in. They tried too hard to control him, and he's made it clear, stop telling me what interviews I can and can't do. He ultimately believes that what's always been best for Trump is he can talk his way out of anything. That ultimately, in some form or another, whether it's at a rally, an interview with me, an interview with the Washington Post, whatever, that he can always talk his way out of things. And obviously with Trump, the problem for Trump is that he's sort of like a political squirrel. He notices everything. He responds to everything. So when you sit down to an interview, like any normal person doing an interview is going to ask him about the like three or four recent things he said or didn't say. And Trump always has to get the last word.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, you know, it's not that, you know, people say, oh God, he's so unfocused. No, actually the focus is exactly the same. He's the same person he was on June 15th when he rolled down that escalator in 2015 as he is today.
Yep.
Why Republicans thought he was going to change and pivot and be presidential, okay, but there was nothing about his past performance that was indicative of that behavior.
Right.
Chuck, do you put any stock into the fact that his own running mate broke bad on him with Mike Pence saying yesterday, I strongly support Paul Ryan, strongly endorse John McCain?
Yeah, I do, because it's, look, he's a man. Trump's a man on an island, okay? I mean, I think the only people that want Trump to lose more than Hillary Clinton and Democrats are many leaders of the Republican Party. You know, I think, you know, Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, their nightmare is that somehow Trump wins. And they have to work with this guy for 4 years and have to deal with this for 4 years. And, you know, they know, you know, Democrats would have 300 House seats in 2018. after 2 years of Trump and Ryan fighting each other, you know, and some it could get like so bizarre and bad. So, look, I think the party is totally, but they don't know how to walk away from Trump. I think part of them think ignore him, and it's every Republican for yourself. You know, don't unendorse him, but don't work with him either, and just let him fester on his own. I think they think that's the best, most survivable path forward. But boy, that's not a successful path forward.
No, that's a minefield. Can you see any scenario where between now, because it's got to happen soon, between now and September 1st, where he's not the candidate?
I couldn't believe the number of conversations I had yesterday with people I consider to be, you know, smart operatives in the
right.
Republican Party, who brought up this, well, maybe we can convince him to get out. Maybe we can convince him to get out. And I'm sitting there going, okay. And I know this has been the pipe dream of every Republican that's been running against Trump for a year and a half now, and many other operatives. The guy is not a quitter, I think. I think we all, that's one thing, you know, when his own personality and his own legacy is on the line, he's not going to quit. Now, if you find him an exit ramp that allows him to declare some form of victory, sure. But I think we're past that. I think that, you know, I think that exit's gone.
Yeah, and I would go back to what's he going home to? Because he's burned so many business bridges now. He's got to go back and repair that as well.
No, and I actually think he wants to, you know, if he can just stabilize and get to it. I truly think he would view this presidential run a success if his son one day becomes mayor of New York City. Like, you know, then he's like, I did this and I created a legacy. And the Trump name lives on. And the Trump name will now live on in American politics. Like, I think that ultimately that's how he would view success on this, is if it allowed it so that it made his kids viable political players.
And in the meantime, every day matters. There's still over 90 days, but every day matters that you miss the opportunity to punch your opponent, and he misses opportunity after opportunity. Now,
this could be Hillary Clinton's worst 6 days.
Absolutely.
It could easily have been a terrible 6 days for her. Not just sort of an average 6 days, a horrendous 6 days. And, you know, let's just talk about foreign policy. We're doing airstrikes in Libya because ISIS is there. Why are they there? Because of a botched intervention. And who was in favor of that intervention? Hillary Clinton.
Right.
I mean, this could be among the worst moments for her. But Trump is, you know, that disastrous of a candidate.
The Iran money transfer thing. I mean, this comes down to bad optics. And isn't it possible that common sense seems to indicate to me that in the conversation, the Iranians went, yeah, we're not all that concerned about your optics. We're going to give you these people back. But once you send the money, and then we'll send them home. You can call it ransom, you can call it whatever you want. But this is how it's going to go down. Isn't that possible?
It's one. I thought there was a good quote today in the Post of one of these think tank analysts on this deal. If you didn't like the Iran deal, you think it's a ransom. If you like the Iran deal, you say it's the price of doing business and diplomacy with an adversary /, you know, with somebody that you deal with diplomatically as an adversary. And that's the bottom line here. If you think the Iranians are so distrustful,
right,
and are truly an enemy, then this is disastrous. If you think you have to tolerate Iran in the Middle East and know that no matter what, they're always going to be a player, which is sort of the Obama and Clinton worldview on this, then this is the price of doing business. This was money that did belong to them. We froze it for 35, 40, you know, 30-odd years, and this was all part of that negotiation. But, boy, I tell you, it does look bad, and it's clear the administration was embarrassed, right? You don't go through the cloak and dagger aspect of it. You don't hide it if they're not embarrassed that the timing looks so bad.
Yeah, just hammering.
And that's the part of this that you just like, this is what creates distrust in government. I was reading this story. I'm like, come on, guys.
Right.
All right. Just tell us the raw truth. Don't try to hide it. And they were trying to hide hide this because they knew the optics looked bad. And it's like, now you just made it look worse.
Well, they said it was a 30-year-old debt, too, that they were paying off.
It's true, but that is all true.
Yeah.
But the timing with the Iranians realized they had some leverage, and they're like, hey, we want our money.
Right.
You know what? This might be a good time to give us that money.
Right.
So it's just be forthcoming about it.
And by the way, Hillary, nowhere near the deal in January, but all over the Libya thing, and both were missed, other than a couple of cursory remarks by Trump yesterday.
Right. No, and I mean, and never mind, did we talk about the stagnant economic growth data coming out of the second, second quarter that happened on Friday, the day after the Democratic convention, the day after the Democrats? You know, it's funny. Trump painted, I think, too dark of a picture of America, and there are times where the Democrats painted too rosy of a picture of America.
Yep. Yeah, truth's in the middle. Chuck Todd, listen, NBC invented must-watch TV back in the 90s. I'm telling you, and Chuck knows I'm not kidding about this. Must-watch NBC, that's Sunday mornings with Chuck Todd on Meet the Press.
Thank you, brother.
Getting it done. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate your time.
You got it.
That's Chuck Todd running off to do the Today Show now.